The Lord is here. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on. The Lord is here. I was praying about it this morning, asking you, Lord, where are you at Stanford? And I saw him walking in here, and he was like, I'm going to be with you as you speak. And what was kind of a scary moment of, oh my gosh, I'm going to be up there speaking, turned into, oh, he's going to be with me. Oh my gosh, what a privilege. He is here. The King is here. Oh, yes, yes. And we're going through a series. We're going through a series where we're talking about the kingdom of God. And you know, for me, this has been a pursuit that's been going on since we got kids. I was like, we were cruising along, and then 2015 came, and then it was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing as a parent, right? I mean, I'm sure a lot of you have felt that way when you get your first child. It's like, oh my gosh, I wish there was a book that really taught like how to do, had all the answers for all the questions that you have when you have a child. And so I've shared with you before, I was going through that 2015 where he's sitting right there. There was times pushing my buttons and stuff, and I felt like I need a new way, God. I need a different way. Only thing I know is how my parents parented me and the things that I picked up from other people and things from TV and all these kind of things. And I was like, I need a different way. So we found LOCOP, Loving Our Kids on Purpose. That was an amazing course to go through. Gave us tools and ideas. We started that and we went through it. But I realized after a while, I can't keep this up. As much as I'm trying to be patient and loving and not raise my voice and all these different things, I was going, I can't keep this up. And so I would hear the speaker, the guy that created Loving Our Kids on Purpose, Danny Silk, talk about the kingdom of God. Every once in a while, he would throw that phrase in here. And I was like, what is that? Why is he bringing that up? And I, you know, we've heard that kingdom of God and stuff, but don't know exactly what that actually means or what that has to do with parenting. So I'm like, okay, but there was something inside of me that started stirring. That's saying, pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. And so over the last 7 or 8 years, I've been kind of pursuing that, going through it, going, what is this kingdom of God? Because, you know, from 2006 to 2015, we had learned so much about God, about identity, about intimacy, about seeing the supernatural things of the Lord. And I was like, you mean to tell me that none of these things that we were experiencing apply to parenting? And I was like, no, that is not right. There's stuff in here that I want to apply to how I raise my son. And so that's part of the journey of going, all these things that we're learning, how do we apply it in different areas of our lives? And I think that's the key, is understanding the kingdom of God, understanding his reign and rule. So that's where we're going. Our series, it's an 8-week series talking about the kingdom of God. So I think for some of us, it's like, okay, that's great, throwing it out. You know, we don't live in a monarchy, so I don't really know what, I mean, okay, obviously we've heard of kings, but what does that have to do with today? We don't live under, we have a president, right? We have a democracy. So what does that have to do with what we're doing, with my life today? Well, let me go over real quickly. What is the kingdom of God? And there's a lot of different definitions, a lot of different ideas, different aspects. Like Pastor Barry was saying last week, he started going into it and then he did a deep dive. And then there's so much to bring out about the kingdom of God. So I'm not going to give a comprehensive picture of the kingdom of God. But one aspect I want to focus on is, what is the kingdom of God to us today? Okay, so the kingdom of God, first of all, is that There's two kingdoms, okay? There's two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven. In Colossians 1:13, it says this, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." It's up there, right? Yes. Okay. So there's two kingdoms. There's the dominion of darkness, the DOD, as I like to call it, the DOD, and then there's the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven. When we all accepted Jesus, we entered into the kingdom of heaven. We were taken from the DOD, the dominion of darkness, and God transferred us. Now we are kingdom citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Now the DOD is a part of this physical world that we see. The kingdom of heaven is one we cannot see. And I think that's why a lot of us, we don't think about it much because we can't see it. We don't see it. But there's some things I want to share. I'm going through this book, Ted Decker. He's awesome fiction author. Well, he's not a fiction author, but he writes fiction. And I love his fiction stuff. But he also did a devotional, and it's called The Forgotten Way. And this is how he describes the two kingdoms. He says, as you begin to follow Yeshua's way, or Jesus's, if you follow Jesus, it is critical that you awaken to another simple truth. The physical world your eyes have shown you is only a small part of reality. A greater and more beautiful reality exists right now. Yeshua, Jesus, calls this reality the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, eternal life. So he's saying, what we see here, this is only the tip of the iceberg. This is only a portion of reality. There's a greater reality that's out there that we don't even see. And if we are not helping ourselves be aware of it, we are missing this huge chunk of life. It kind of sounds like the Matrix, huh? You want to take the red pill, the blue pill? Take the red pill. Because if we take the red pill, we will so see more of reality. If we are just bound to this, what we can see with our eyes, we're going to miss a lot of what God wants for us. You know, it's like the wind, right? We don't see the wind. You can't see the wind. But the wind, it does so much for us. But there's also power in the wind, like we've seen in Maui, or we hear about in the Midwest, where tornadoes, right, come up and just rip things up. We can't see it. But then, so should we say, well, the wind doesn't exist? If we do, we'd be foolish. And it's the same thing with the kingdom of God. Even though it's invisible, we'd be foolish to say, we don't have to worry about it. So the kingdom of God, a lot of definitions out there. This is one that I found was pretty good. The kingdom of God is the realm where God, or the world where God reigns supreme and Jesus Christ is king. It's this realm. It's a world where Jesus is the king, where Jesus reigns supreme in this realm. And I tell you, as Christians, if we continue to just operate in this physical world, in this kingdom that we can only see, we're going to miss so much. Because in this other realm, Jesus is doing things. The angels are doing things. There's stuff happening in this realm that God wants us to be a part of. And yet, if we just choose to say, no, I'm only going to deal with what I can see, touch, feel, smell, hear, sense. This is it right here. And all that other stuff, nah. We're going to miss out so much in what God has for us. Now, okay, that's great. Thanks, Ross, for telling me that. Can we go home now? Why is this important? Does God just want to control us? Does he want to just boss us around and say, okay, do this? No, absolutely not. He has so much in store for us, so much planned for us, so much that he desires for us. He wants us to thrive in life. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to flourish. Look at these verses that talk about God's heart for us, for his sons and daughters. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Come on. I heard an amen. 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 Oh, thank you, Ruth. He wants us to prosper in all circumstances. When we follow God, when we listen to him, when we are aware of the kingdom of God, we prosper. Matthew 5, 3 through 12. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And he's saying, look, even when circumstances get you down, you can prosper. You will prosper. This is what happens to those that are poor in spirit. This is what happens to those that mourn. Okay? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to be poor in spirit. I want to be poor in spirit. If that's what the poor in spirit get, I want to be poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice. What? Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Wow. That reward in heaven must be something if Jesus is saying rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is what Jesus is saying to the Jews back then, to the people listening. But he's saying this to us too. He wants us to thrive and prosper, to be successful. I mean, I'm not sure exactly the definition. Everybody has their own definition of what that means, but that's what God wants for us. Any other life other than what Jesus is talking about is inferior to what he's presenting to us, to what he's teaching us. You want an inferior life? You want a life that's built on this versus one that's like experiencing this? You know, parents, we want our kids to thrive. We want our kids to flourish and blossom and experience things in life, right? We want them to, you know, have great friendships. We want them to get an education. We want them to get a job that they love. We want them, you know, when they're in their 30s, to start dating at that point and get married sometime later and then have kids. And I don't get how parents fit that all in that box where they're dating late, but yet getting married and having, yeah. Right, but that's what we want, right? Uncles, aunts, grandpas, grandmas, that's what we want for the kids. We want to see them flourish and grow and find themselves and learn about God and be just steadfast in their faith, right? Right? How much more does God want that for us? For us to reign in life, for us to flourish, for us to prosper, for us to see Him, for us to see the kingdom, for us to walk in our citizenship of kingdom and to experience Him like we've never experienced Him before. Yeah, He wants that. He wants it. Who wouldn't want that? He's a good father. He's a good father. Like I read in those verses, we need to be aware. We need to interact with the King. It's not enough to just go to church. It's not enough to just give our tithes. It's not enough to just be in a small group. But it's this aspect of just being aware of this invisible. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But to be aware of this invisible King and this invisible kingdom because of what it leads to in this life that is better than anything else. Now, what is this unto? Okay, this great life, what is that unto? Is it just so that we can be comfortable, that it can be nice, and then we, woohoo, yeah, man, I'm living this prosperous life? And no, it doesn't end there. It's unto helping those who don't know Jesus come into His kingdom, right? It's helping others who don't know Jesus to live a life that they were meant to live when God created them. To say, hey, this life that you're living, you're missing the boat. You're missing the boat. There's this bigger thing that's happening. And for us to live prosperous life so that they could see our lives and go, whoa, is that what the kingdom is like? Yeah, that's what the kingdom is like. When you follow the King, when you submit to the King, when you do what the King says, these kind of things come out and happen. And that's why when we talk about the city set on a hill, it's a bunch of Christians who are the light of the world, who are shining Jesus' light, come together into this and create this atmosphere of like the city where other people that are in the DOD, they see that in the darkness and they go, what is that? What is that? Let me get a taste. Oh my gosh, that is good. I want that. The city set on a hill is an invitation for those that are in the darkness to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's what is happening as we walk with the Lord. I'm seeing this in Alpha. These guests that have been invited, oh, God bless their hearts. We just love them. We're doing the best we can to minister to them and love on them. But a lot of them come with some heavy hurts and burdens. And they come and they share. You know, we go through the video, the teaching, we learn about it. But they share some of their stuff that they're going through. And have stuff to do with their relationship with their spouses and their kids and just all these heavy, heavy stuff. And it's so awesome for me to see the volunteers, the Catalyst people, step into their calling, step into what they've been trained and educated through all these years since Catalyst started, to see them step into that and minister to these people. And it's funny because when we started Alpha, we had training and stuff, but we didn't go over like PMT stuff. We didn't go over all prayer ministry or how to give prophetic words or words of knowledge or stuff. But they have an opportunity and they step into it and then words are given, prayers are happening, healing's happening, all these different things are happening. And it's like, whoa. And so I'm so proud of the Alpha team that is helping and serving and ministering, but the people are receiving this. The guests are receiving this. And there's some that say, man, they say, I was just having a rotten day at work, fighting with people, fighting with my kids, other stuff, trying to get down here and just not wanting to be here and just feeling just all this stuff going in my head, like just confusion. And then I step into the Freedom Center. And then the peace of the Lord comes upon them. They've said this. They've told this to us. That when I got here at the Freedom Center, when I got to this place, everything changed. And they said, I feel so peaceful here. Like I can think. Like I can absorb things. Where before it was just kind of, I think I shared this with you guys before, but this one couple, they were like, they're fighting with each other. And they're like, we don't want to go. We're tired. We're not going to go to Alpha tonight. Their kids said, you're going to go to Alpha. You go to that thing because something happens to you when you go there. And maybe part of it is, you know, thanks to you guys, the food that they bring home, maybe they're just really happy with the food. But they're like, no, Mom and Dad, you guys got to go. And so they came, and they're, again, just, I don't want to be here. They come. Wow, that was a great meeting. Wow. And it's because they're experiencing God. They're experiencing community, but they're experiencing God. And so what started out as 11 long weeks of Alpha, we're coming to our last one this Friday. And people are like, oh, I'm actually a little sad. And even the volunteers are like, oh, I'm a little sad that we're ending. But, oh, it's just been such a blessing to see the Lord work. And especially when you rub shoulders with people who aren't walking with the Lord. And then they see people get healed and they're like that's what I'm this Friday. Where my shoulder, I think something happened with my shoulder. It was way better. It's still a little cranky, but way better. And one of the guys, we prayed for his knees and his back. We did a leg lengthening. He said he saw his leg lengthen. And then he walked around. He's like, yeah, I'm good. So we're like, hey, test it out this week. Go for a longer walk and see what happens. But so he's going to come with a report on Friday. But we're seeing these things happen with people who don't really know Jesus. And I tell you, it is so fun. So if you have a chance next year when we do Alpha, I would encourage you, jump on, because you're going to see things happen with non-Christians or Christians that aren't walking with the Lord. And it'll bless you. It'll shift things in your mind. But that's why. That's why God wants us to flourish. That's why he wants us to prosper, so we can bless other people. There's two words that the Lord gave me as I started working on this message. And it's awareness and interaction. Awareness and interaction. The first one, awareness, I feel like it's just for us to be aware of the King. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing, to be aware of the King and that he is there. I think that's the first thing. If we're not aware, if we're ignoring Jesus, or if we're just clueless to what he's doing or where he is, we're not going to experience the King. We're not going to walk in the kingdom. We're not going to. So the question that I like to ask Jesus, where are you in this situation? So tell you the truth, this morning I got up and I was a little bit nervous and I could feel that anti-fruit, right? That Pastor Sam talks about, anti-fruit. I was like, oh, that's not the kingdom. That nervousness is not the kingdom. So Jesus, where are you when I'm going to be speaking? Where are you in our church? And he showed me. And I feel like that question, if we can get an answer from the Lord about that question, that brings so much hope. You know, I've been through a few PMT sessions, and it was a while back, and I just felt stuck because my parents had just passed away, and just feeling like emotionally stuck. And so I went to, I was in Rick Akiyama's group, and I love this exercise he does with us. I'm sure that all the PMT groups do this, but it was choose a memory that was painful for me, that's related to what I'm going through. So I thought of this picture of my dad when he passed away. And I saw we were in the mortuary, and I remembered that memory of being in the mortuary and then seeing him laid out on a table. And I just remembered how sad and how discouraged and just despondent, just going through all the feelings of having just lost your parent, one of your parents. And I was just so sad and just mourning. And then Rick asked me, okay, so in that picture, ask Jesus where he is. So then I asked Jesus, and in the middle of tears, where are you in this? And he was standing right by the table where my dad was. And he was looking at my dad, and he was looking at me, and he had tears in his eyes. And I was like, oh, Jesus, you understand. You're there. You're there. You're there, right there in the room with us. And then I saw him walk around, and he started putting his hand and just spending a few seconds with each person that was there in the room. And I was like, oh, man, you're there to minister to us. You're there ministering to each person that was there. And can I tell you the hope that brought to me? The pain was still there. The sadness was still there. But especially with that pain, the edge wasn't there anymore. I don't know if you guys can relate to that, but there's this edge to pain that, oh, it's cutting. It's like, that's, to me, I feel like that's the word. This, it was replaced, like the edge or that cutting was dulled. And it was more like, oh yeah, I miss my dad. But it wasn't that cutting pain anymore. And then there was hope. I felt like, oh, God, you are with us in every circumstance. You are there. You are here. I think that's a great question to ask him. Where are you? But you know what? It doesn't have to stay with in the past. It's great to ask for the past because a lot of healing can happen, but it can also happen today. So I meet with people, and some of them tell me, oh, work is just so boring. Ah, man, I can't wait till I get home, or I can't wait till the weekend. I'm like, yeah, I can understand, because what you do is boring. To be honest with you, it doesn't sound like very fun. But what if you went into that situation and asked Jesus, where are you in my workplace? And so then you picture your workplace, and then it's almost like you're scanning. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And then you spot him. And he's standing by the copier or something. He's standing by the water. Is there a copier? Yeah, a copier. He's standing by the water cooler. And then we can ask him, what are you doing? What are you doing, Jesus? That's the interaction part. Awareness and interaction. The interaction part comes in where you go, Jesus, what are you doing? And what if he said, I am working with so-and-so right here. Let's say standing next to one of your coworkers. I'm working with them because they're going through a really hard time right now. They're suffering. I'm with them right now. And then it's like, then you ask the interaction question. Jesus, how can I be a, what do you want me to do? How can I be a part of this? How can I partner with you in this? And what if he says, I want you to ask them to go to lunch today. Okay, I can do that. I can do that. Can you imagine if we saw a workplace like that? The energy that we would have in coming to work. It wouldn't be anymore about, I just got to do this, whatever, on my computer or these. But it's like, oh my gosh, what is God going to do today? This is my mission field. I am here for 9 hours a day. In other words, you guys are trapped with me for 9 hours. Yeah! We get to do something. Oh my gosh. God, what are you doing? You have me here for a reason right now in this period of time. What do you want me to do? Switch it, right? In your mind, switch it. Don't be of this world. Oh, I got to make this money to do that. Blah, blah, blah. No, it's I'm a missionary right now. Oh my gosh. What's going to happen, God? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What should we do? What should we do? Matthew 11, right? Walking together, putting the yoke on him, learning from him. Let's go. Let's go, Jesus. Let's shift this office's atmosphere. Let's go, Holy Spirit. Let's do that in the office. Let's do that in our family, in our household. Let's do this with our friends. Let's do this when I go out and all my hobbies and all my other interests. Let's do that when I go grocery shopping. Jesus, where are you? You're in the frozen section. All right, let's go. What's going on there, Jesus? I want to see. Shifting it around, say, interacting, being aware. What are you doing, Jesus? How can I interact? How can I get involved with what you're doing? What do you want me to do? Oh, those are great questions. You know, this past week, oh, not this past week, before we started Alpha, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to invite your neighbors. So I went, and it's an Indian family, and I went, and I was just listening to their stories, and they were sharing about just how hard it's been because they've been having health conditions and challenges and stuff. And so I'm kind of listening to them, but then I'm also paying attention to the Spirit. Jesus, where are you in this? So he was in the living room with us, and then I was like, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do? He's like, I want you to pray for them. Okay, yeah, I was going to do that. And he said, I want you to let them know that I see them, that I love them, and that I'm for them. And these, they're Indian, so they're not Christians. They may be Hindu, but they're not Christians. And so I was like, okay. So I listened to them share all this stuff. And then at the very end, I was like, oh, you know, is it okay if I pray for you? And they're like, yeah, yeah. So I prayed those prayers for healing and for God to do something, but also that they would know that God sees them, that God loves them, and that God is for them. So it was just amazing, amazing time of hanging out with them. And I'll share a little bit more in the message later on. But that's it makes life so much fun. You know, Bob, I wish Bob was here because he talks about Christian, what did he call it? Christian activity or Christian, I don't know. He has this phrase that he used, like Christian activity or Christian recreation. Maybe that's what it was. But that's what it is. It's fun. Anywhere you go, there's an opportunity to just step into something. It doesn't have to be praying. I mean, it could be just you praying quietly for someone. But there's an opportunity to step in. There's an opportunity to step in. So we have to be aware and interact with the Lord. Aware of the Lord and interact with him. So I want to give you a few keys how to see and experience the kingdom. The first one is remember that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Okay? I mean, that sounds like, what? I think a lot of us, we've that Jesus is Savior? Oh, yeah, we got that one down pat. I'm going to go to heaven when I die, and that one's awesome. But Jesus, and maybe we don't say this, but this is the way we act, the way the choices that we make. Jesus, you leave the rest of my life alone. In the way I spend money, in the way I hang out with people, in the things that I entertain myself with, in the decisions that I make in life. Jesus, you leave my life alone. I am the Lord of this area. You are Lord or your Savior of this area, but this is mine. And Jesus, in his kindness, in his mercy, he's like, okay, if that's what you want, go ahead, but you're not going to experience the life I want you to experience. So having him as Lord, having him as one that we go to and ask, hey, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this what how you want me to spend the resources I have? Is this what you want me to do? That's a part of walking in the kingdom. He is a loving father who is walking a child. You know, like with Eliana, especially when she was younger, we don't just let her, like we're going to cross the street. We don't just let her run across the street whenever she wants to run across the street. What do we do? What do you do as a parent? What do you want to do as an adult? You grab their hand as a little three-year-old, and you say, okay, let's look both ways. Not just look both ways and then walk, because we've had that happen too. Look both ways and then just walk and then look both ways, make sure no cars are coming, and then let's walk. Okay? And as a loving father, as a loving mother, as a loving parent, as a loving adult, that's how you walk with the kids. Let's go. Let's go. I know you don't want to go. Okay, let's go. Okay, well, we got to wait again. Okay. Or you want to go? No, no, no. The light is red. It's red. No. You work with them to help them understand what is appropriate, what is safe. How do you prosper in life, not get run over by a car? That's what God wants to do with us. He has purposes and things he wants us to experience in life, and we won't experience them if we're not taking him as Lord. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Right? According to his purpose for them. God has plans. God has purposes. God has things that he wants every single one of us to accomplish, to experience. And so he's like, I'm going to do what I can to help you make good choices, to follow me, and you'll get to see these purposes, these things come out in your life. That only happens if Jesus is Lord. Deuteronomy 5, 32-33. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess. Luke 6:46 and 48. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. It's because that man followed the Lord that his house was built on a solid foundation. And that while everything else was shaken, his house not shaken. You want to prosper? You want to thrive? You want your kids to thrive? We got to take Jesus as Lord. We got to receive him, follow him, listen to him, obey him, love him. Because he, and the thing is, he is Lord. It's not a matter of, hey, we have the power to not make him Lord. No, no, he's Lord. He's Lord. It's just, are we, again, aware? Are we interacting with him? Are we listening to him? Okay, so that was the first one. The second one is renewing our mind. Okay, I'm just going to go through these. Okay, we need to renew our mind. This one is so key. Like the other ones are not key. They're key too. This one is so important that we're actually going to do a series next year on renewing the mind. Okay, but I just wanted to touch on this real quickly just to give you a foreshadowing of what we're going to be doing. Right? Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? Yeah, I'm not going to use that verse. I'm going to use a different one. Ephesians 4, 22 and 23. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Yeah, this is something that I've been going through. I've been going through Bill Johnson's study or curriculum, The Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind. And it's a devotional. You watch a video and do a devotional. But oh my gosh, changed my life in the way of viewing things. That now it's like, oh, this challenge, this giant that we talked about a few months ago, this giant is an opportunity. If I don't face giants, if I don't face challenges, I am not going to grow. If I have a life that is free of challenges, guess what? I'm going to be like the guy who bench presses 10 pounds, and that's all I do. I'm not going to get stronger. I'm not going to be able to test out how I'm growing or how much strength I'm developing. I don't know why I'm looking at Todd. I'm looking at Todd when I talk about this. Right? We have to add on weights to get stronger. It's the same thing in the Christian life. If we don't face giants, if we don't face challenges, and when I mean face, like face, not run away, but if we don't face them and deal with them, we're not going to grow. We're not going to see how the promises of God come true. We're not going to see the truth of what he says in his word come true. We're just going to be, I just kept running away. I just kept running and running and running. Jonah, I just kept running, and I never saw anything. I never experienced anything. I have no testimonies except my running is getting faster. I'm being a faster runner. It's like, oh, come on, really? Is that the life we want to live where we just keep running? So I meet with Pastor Samory once in a while, and he was telling me the thing God was challenging him with was facing his fears. And the Lord said to him, doesn't matter how big that fear or how big that anxiety is, just face it and deal with it, and let's just start knocking them down. So at the time he told me, I was like, yeah, okay, that sounds good. Recently, it's been like, oh, yeah, let's just start knocking them down, one at a time. And so there have been things in my life that I go, well, is that fear? I feel a little bit anxious. No, just knock it down. Just deal with it. And so one of them was going to that neighbor. I was like, going to invite him to Alpha, his family to Alpha. They're not Christian. Maybe they're Hindu. You know, I'm just making up all these things, right, of why not to. And I was feeling anxious about it. And then the Lord said, do you know that I'm already there? Like on the porch where he is, the house is? Oh, yeah. Do you know that I surround you? Yeah. Do you know that I am in you? Yeah. Do you know that I'm a good father and you're my son who I love dearly? Okay, let's go. And so it was like, okay, yeah, he's there already. So I made some brownies, grabbed the postcard, went over and knocked on the door, and I was like, the dad opens the door and he goes, come on in. I was like, oh. Went in, sat down, like I was telling you guys, in the living room. We had a 2-hour conversation, just talking about life, talking about stuff. They were asking about the kids. They let us borrow a few history books so that Jackson could read. And and then, of course, they shared about their challenges in their health. And so I was able to pray for them. And I followed up a week later. The dad went to, he had bladder cancer, and he said that I'm going to go this week to the doctor to get tested or to have a procedure done. And they're going to go into my bladder and then cut out all the tumors that they find. And then probably chemo or radiation or where they'll make, or maybe an operation, depending on how far it's gone. But I'm going to have to go through. They said, the doctor's pretty much saying, you're going to have to go through something like that. Okay, well, I'll be praying. I prayed for him, and then I'll be praying for you during this week. So late after he went, I emailed him. I was like, hey, so how did that turn out? And he said, well, they went in, and they found a few cancerous, like small tumors. But they said, I'm cancer-free. I don't have to go through any procedure, any other thing, and they just need to, yeah, you can clap, yeah. And they just need to follow up every year or every, you know, whatever, ultrasound or whatever they do, but I don't have to go through any procedures. So then I was like, wow, Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. For doing that for him. Yeah. Facing our fears. We get to be a blessing to other people that we can't even comprehend how that happened, but he does it. So we got to change our mindset. Instead of running from our fears, instead of being afraid of them, we go, you, giant, you're my nourishment. If I'm going to eat you up and you're going to help me grow, I'm going to face you because my God is way bigger than you. My God is smarter than you. My God is bigger than you. So that's why I love this song. My God is greater, bigger, stronger than you. Get out of the way. Renewing the mind. The last one is about responding in faith. In that when we are aware, when we interact with him, and he says, this is what I want you to do, we got to respond in faith. We got to go, okay. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know, but I'm going to go. So I actually want to bring up Elena to share a testimony that she shared with us on Friday. And I thought this would fit the message today. Yeah.
Okay. God bless you, everyone. So my friend Rosa called me when it was a pandemic. And her mother, I think in that time, she was 86. And she called me and she said, Elena, the mom, she's a believer in the family, you know, believe in God. And she said, Elena, I'm just calling you because I want you to pray for my mom and put my mom in prayers because she's in the hospital for 2 weeks with pneumonia and the virus. And she's connected to a lot of other stuff, you know. So the doctors say that my mom, she's going to die because the lungs and everything. So the sister works in the hospital, so I don't know how the mom, you know, she don't want to die in the United States. She wants to go to Mexico. So bring the mom to the house and prepare everything to take Rosa's mom to Mexico because she wants to die over there. And Rosa said, just keep my mom in prayer because she can go in the airplane because she's connected to the machine so she can breathe. So she said, just keep my mom in prayer. So I went to Rosa's sister's house, and I park outside, and I'm just praying for the mom in my car. And then I just feel like, no, I give the authority that you go in the house and pray for the mom. And I just knocked on the door, and I said to the other lady, I said, can I pray for you, mom? And she said, go ahead, but I know she's very sick, connected to the machine. And I went into the room, and she's sitting there. And then she can even go like that because, you know, she can breathe, and she's connected to a lot of things. And I pray for her, and I pray in with the authority that God gave to me. And I say, you know what? You're healed in the name of Jesus, you know. You're going to be okay. And I asked her, you know that God can heal you. You know that he is right here. And she, you know, just she moved her head. And so I did a prayer and everything, and I felt the Holy Spirit very strong. So I went home, and the nighttime Rosa called me and say, Elena, I just want to say something. Then my mom, she removed everything from her nose. She's breathing, she's walking. And everyone is worship God, and she's singing to the Lord. And my mom, she's not going to Mexico because, you know, she's walking, she's singing. And for me, it was just like, wow, she was dying. She can breathe. She was connected to a machine. And I was like, wow, this is the Lord that we serve. The yes. Lord that we have connection.
Yes.
When we have alignment with him, we don't need to say to people, oh, no, we can go in the presence of the Lord and we can connect it in the moment. God gave us the authority because we are an instrument for his glory and honor.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I remember when Elena was sharing that last night, she said that this is right during the pandemic when we didn't really know much about COVID. And I don't know if it was Rosa's mom or somebody, but somebody was sick with it in the household. And so there was concern, like, oh my gosh, should you go in there? Should you pray for them? You know, maybe just outside is good enough. But Elena felt convicted to go, even in the midst of uncertainty, going in the midst, stepping into the darkness, being that light, and bringing the kingdom with her, bringing the king with her. And Rosa's mom got healed. And she's still alive, right? Yeah. She's still alive, enjoying life in Mexico. So I just, that's what's in front of us, Catalyst. That's the opportunities that we have. That's what the Lord has set before us. Are we willing to take that step and respond in faith? There's a few application points. First one is read your word. Read the word. We got to familiarize ourselves with Jesus, with God, what he says, his kingdom. He talks about the kingdom all the time. His teachings, and it's about the kingdom. If we don't read that, how are we going to understand the kingdom? How are we going to understand what Jesus is trying to show us, what he's trying to teach us? Number two, hone your spiritual listening skills. Okay, I've been doing I call it the listening journal, where Pastor Barry has said, okay, every day you sit there and just, you know, talk, ask the Lord a question and then just write down what he says. I've been doing that. I don't do it every day, but I do it like 3 or 4 times a week, and I feel like I'm honing my listening skills, being able to hear him quicker and faster, and I'm stepping out in faith more because I feel like, oh, that's him. That's him talking. You know, Solomon, when God asked him what he wanted, you know what he asked for? And everybody said wisdom. He didn't ask for wisdom. Solomon asked for a discerning heart, a listening heart, to know the difference between good and evil. And that's what I want. That's what I'm sure you want too, a discerning heart that can hear, listening heart that can hear God's voice. So hone our spiritual listening skills. And even the regular listening skills too, I think that would be good too. And then read books, watch videos about the kingdom. There's all kinds of stuff. You know, Bethel has all kinds of things. And it's Bill Johnson and Graham Cook. Those are the two guys I watch and listen to. But just marinating in people who understand the kingdom. It's just a great way to learn and a great way to experience and experiment and try stuff. So, yeah, may the Lord bless you in this journey. Let's pray. And the worship team, come on up. Yeah, Lord, yeah. Yeah. You are the Lord. You are the Lord of our lives. And God, we say yes. We say yes to you even before we hear the question that you have for us. We say yes to you, God, because you, following you, being aware of you, interacting with you, Jesus, is one of the most important things that we can do in this life. And so, Lord, we say yes to you. We say yes. We say yes. We say yes to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Make us more aware. Like that song, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Make us more aware of your presence. Make us aware of you. Make us aware of you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.